Good morning and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and boy, oh boy, are we going to have a wake-up show for you this morning. We have a very special guest we're going to be giving an introduction to in just a moment. I do want you to take time to write down our toll-free number, however. You'll be able to call in later on during the program, should you so desire, at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. As we say when we're talking about the Donna Sebo Show, I have guests from all over the world, and that is the case this morning. We have Coral Montana, who is at 4 a.m. in the morning, up bright and sassy and ready to go. Her wonderful book is Another Place, Another Time. She is online with us from Melbourne, Australia. Coral, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
You have put out a very unique book. The title of your book is Another Place, Another Time, and I love the cover on it, and you talk about the reincarnation of Crazy Horse. Now, before we go into how you evolved to getting this book together, I would like for you to talk about what, you know, you have been in Melbourne since 1950. You had not been involved with the U.S. at all. When did you have your first experience with, let's use a common term, with spirit? When did you become aware that you had a very unique talent that, I mean, were you able to talk about it to anybody? Tell us your story.
I was probably about 28 when I had my first experience, and it was probably not what I would have called unique. I sort of, one of my best friends was killed in a car accident, and a few weeks later I felt someone sitting on my bed, and it actually freaked me right out. that was the first experience, and that went on for a few weeks, and I'd have all my lights on at night and all that. And then I had a poem given to me from one of his friends, and I knew it had come from him. It was just a very spiritual poem, and that made me feel a lot better. But then it was a few months later I had my first message from Spirit. I didn't realize at that time that I'd been getting messages all of my life. After that, I used to sometimes feel spirits touching me, and I'd always be talking to myself, never realizing I was actually talking to the spirit world. I never learnt that until about, 4 or 5 years ago, when I started really getting into reading about the spirit world, and I realized I spoke and said, I read about spirit guides, and I thought, oh, I wonder if I've got a spirit guide. So I sort of said, what's your name? And this voice goes, Marianne. So, of course, from then on, Marianne has become my best friend. But I realize now that she'd always been around and I'd always been talking to her. I just didn't realize that I was talking to a spirit, not myself.
Now, Coral,
and I do hear other spirits as well.
There are so many people that are going to be listening to this and will say, What did it feel like? Because so many of our listeners are very familiar with conversations and people talking about having psychic experiences, etc. You didn't have anyone, though, that you could talk with. So you were pretty much all by yourself in your research, weren't you?
Definitely. And I still am, really, because all of my friends, I mean, they understand now, and I mean, my friends at work, I mean, Marianne is just now one of the people at work as far as they're concerned, because Marianne has told us so many things that are going to happen, and then they happen, and that, but none of them experience, none of my friends, nobody around me actually experiences what I experience, which you know, it makes it very difficult. And I think at first, you're really saying, well, is this real or am I just imagining it? And I was forever putting myself to the test. And thinking, well, am I imagining this? And then there'd be things that I'd think, no, I couldn't, because, you know, I didn't know that, and that's really happening, and I was told that. And, yeah, because she'll sort of put time frames on things, and they happen within that time frame.
Now,
and there's things that I just don't know that she tells me that it just is, and I think, no, it's definitely real. So,
Well, it's good that you have been testing, like you say, because I think that is so very, very important. You have had an interesting life in that here you are in an environment, even though there's so much history with your country relative to the Aboriginal people. The Aborigines feel very, very much at home with this. I don't know how much of their culture still survives, but they had an understanding of the earth and nature and so much about the environment of Australia. And we hear stories about that. And here you are in Melbourne, which is a highly populated area, and you're feeling like a misfit in a way because you are having these experiences. And a lot of people would say, you know, I think the Looney Farm would be really good for her.
That's right. Oh, trust me. You've got no idea.
Here you are. You're talking about, well, I have this voice in my head, and so you just they say, okay, we're in outer space now. It's Looney Tune time.
But that's right.
You have, one, a very good sense of humor about yourself. You're very down to earth, and you have found that this, in a way, has liberated you because it has enabled you to experience an adventure. Now, let's get into the beginning part of how you evolved into this exploration about Crazy Horse. And it started in 1984. So tell us about the bookstore and what happened.
In 1984, I was visiting a little shop, and I got drawn into a bookstore, and all of a sudden bought a couple of books about Native American Indians, and I thought, oh, okay. So I just kept reading and reading and reading them over and over and over, and I'd always been attracted to the Indians, but I didn't know why, and then all of a sudden I just thought, I know I've been, I always believed in reincarnation. I thought, I know I've been a Sioux Indian, I know it. And from then on, I just knew I had been. I knew I'd been a male, and I hated Custer, absolutely hated him to a vengeance, and I didn't know why, because I really didn't know a lot about everything. I mean, we just heard the very basics of the whole thing, but not a great deal. And, everybody I didn't like, I started calling them Custer. It was just a stupid thing I did. But that just sort of plodded along until about 3.5 years ago. And once again, I was drawn into another little bookstore. I was going a day trip with one of my friends, and we called in at a little town. And it was only a little town, and there was a little bookstore, and I was drawn in again. And I ended up buying Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. And I didn't even go in there to buy a book about Indians. I thought I'd see what they had about reincarnation and that. And all of a sudden I asked for, a book, any Western sort of books. And I got that. Well, it all started from there. And I know that it was my time by then to learn. I think it was too early, in 1984. I bought that book, read it, and it just blew me away. I was out there, I could feel it. And from there on, it just went on and on. I said to Marianne, was I Crazy Horse? this was a few days later, and she said, do you think you were? And I said, no. And she said, well, you mustn't have been then. And we left it there, and it just went on. Then one day she said to me, why don't you get on the computer and see if there's anything for Crazy Horse? And I said, don't be stupid. I loved Sitting Bull. Sitting Bull had always been my hero right from when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But I really didn't know about Crazy Horse. We only heard really mainly about Sitting Bull. To us, Sitting Bull and Custer was Little Bighorn. Crazy Horse never ever came into anything there. I'd been having regressions and things. I'd started getting into doing regressions, and I'd seen myself as a Native American on a lot of occasions. Once I started reading the books about Crazy Horse, I was thinking, oh my God, there were so many things that I could relate to. But I still thought, nah, couldn't be me. Like, I've never been one of these to think, oh, I wonder who I was. You know, maybe I was Napoleon, maybe, you know.
Please, let's keep it glamorous, yes.
Yeah, and I thought, nah, this can't be real. And I'd kept saying to Marianne, well, no, I couldn't have been Crazy Horse. He was too famous. And, you know, she kept saying, well, he wasn't famous when he was alive. He was just an Indian, you know. But I still didn't think, nah, couldn't be. As the months went on, I was getting more and more drawn into the fact of, heck, I think I might have been. My son and I made our first trip over to South Dakota in May of 2003. And before I went, I said to Marianne, you know, I'd really love to know where Crazy Horse is buried. You know, everybody's sort of, there's so many different places that he was supposed to be buried.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I can show you where he's buried. And I said, you sure? She goes, yes. You know, I know where he's buried, and so do the other spirits. We'll show you where he's buried. So I was pretty excited about that. When we got over there, that was my first real experience. My son and I, as I say, Sitting Bull had always been my hero, as long as I could remember. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go and see Sitting Bull's grave. So we drove up there, and I got out of the car, and I said to Tim, oh, I can't believe it, you know, wow, you know, there's his grave. So I started walking over to it. Well, I just started absolutely sobbing, couldn't stop sobbing. And I thought, I'd never cried so hard in my life. It was amazing. And I just sat there and I was just absolutely sobbing. And then I felt a big hand on my shoulder. And I talked to Sitting Bull for quite a while that day. And it was a few days later, they did show me where my grave is. And that was amazing in itself.
Well, let me just stop you here, Coral. For those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking to C.D. Coral Montana, who is speaking to us from Melbourne, Australia. She has lived her life there. That's her home. She's talking about Another Time, Another Place. That's the title of her book, The Reincarnation of Crazy Horse. These are her experiences that she went through. She's documenting all of it, and that's what she's sharing with us at this time. So if you're just tuning in, that will bring you up to par. Now, here you are, you're having these experiences, you're wide awake when you're having them. You're not in any kind of a trance. And how did your son feel about all of this?
He was totally amazed that day. He was sort of more into just having a good look around up there that day. He was getting spiritual touches that day in particular. They were pulling on his ear. They were telling us how to get up to this road, where to go to find the grave. I sat down. Finally, they directed us to an area. My son had already walked past it on many occasions that day because it's very well hidden. And I sat down and I just saw a little tiny piece of red blanket, and I pulled on it, and it's about 3 inches by 3 inches, all grub-chewed, and I thought, Oh my God! And I've learned that the spirits, I don't know how they do it, but they've done it now to me since then on a few occasions. They leave little, they have things around. I don't know how they do it. And all of a sudden, I remembered reading from the lieutenant that took Crazy Horse into Fort Robinson before he was killed. That after he was killed, he'd look out from his barracks and see Crazy Horse wrapped in the red blanket, and I thought, oh no. So I felt around under some rocks, and I actually found some more pieces of the red blanket, just little, you know, pieces about three inches by three inches, but not actually cut like that. They're all in funny little shapes with all little grub chews and that, mm-hmm. and there's actually blood on those bits of blanket. And I actually had another amazing experience this year getting away from that, because I've been over there now 5 times.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And, hey?
I said, for heaven's sake, you've come over 5 times.
Yes. Yes.
Now, did you go to the Black Hills or did you go someplace else?
I go all over.
Oh, good.
South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, and Nebraska. In those areas, I've been there 5 times.
With all of the history that you've evolved through, and that's something that you cover in your book. You talk about Red Feather, you talk about the fort, you talk about the various things that happened to him. And when you're going through that, what was you said you just recently had an experience. What was that?
I was in Beaver Valley with 3 friends. I've met 3 people. Since I first released my book about 18 months ago, just did a few copies myself and put them onto the internet, onto eBay. And I know now that I was meant to do that because I've met 3 people through that that never knew one another. We've met now twice, last year and this year, and they also were Native American Indians. They're not now. One of them lives in New Hampshire, one lives in Illinois, and one lives in Nebraska. And so we travel around together now, and they've experienced so much with me that they can't believe it, and neither can I. But we found where Crazy Horse's scaffold had been, and the spirits sort of, you know, draw me up to these areas, and we went up there, we found that, and we're wandering around. I found an old piece of corn, which is so old, it's just about, well, it has fallen apart. The other day I had it at work, I went, oh no, my corn's fallen apart.
That
but apart from
too.
That, I found a little tiny piece of fabric that's so old and fragile that it's actually falling apart now too, because I shouldn't have touched it. And it's got like a nail hole in it. So I think it's been stuck onto a little piece of wood, well, for 129 years. And it's just so fragile. It's just white, but it's just got this tiny little streak of pink. And that's what attracted me. And I thought, whoops. And I said to the girls, I think I've found a piece of the blanket. It's been attached to the scaffold like all this time.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought it home, and it actually matches, you know, it matches the blanket that I got from the grave. It's the same weave on it, although it's really, it feels just like a little tiny piece of, it's so fragile and so crumbly, but it is, I think it was part of the blanket that must have got caught on a nail when they took Crazy Horse's body off, because the weave is exactly the same as what is in the blanket.
Now, here you are with all of these various experiences that you've gone through. You were made aware that the only reason Crazy Horse became so well-known and famous is because someone decided they were going to make him a personality that needs to be remembered. And in your book, it says it's just the white man with the writings and history that has made you famous, the person Crazy Horse. Why do you think that this is something you were made aware of? Why was this brought forth in your life? Most people will have little, if any, memory of previous experiences, And I have heard so many stories from so many people over the years of their own personal journeys. Why do you think this happened to you?
You know, I've asked myself that so many times, but, and the only thing I can think of is that Crazy Horse, all of his life, his life was devoted to his people and to looking after them. And I believe that he tried so very, very hard to keep his people free. He fought so hard for their lands. I think that he felt when he died that he'd let his people down and hadn't done enough for them. And, I mean, I don't know this myself because I haven't seen this inner regression or anything, but I've read in books where his last words supposed to have been, you know, tell the people that they can no longer depend on me. That I don't know, because that might be just, I mean, there's been a lot of things written that the spirit world have told me, you know, like I can be reading a book and Marianne will say to me, that's not true, and I go, well, fair enough. But I believe that Crazy Horse decided when he died, it was such a big thing in his soul that he'd let his people down. He hadn't done enough. He wanted to do more for them. And I think when something is so strong in your soul, you have to release it before you can move on. Because I feel as though I've never released it. I mean, I feel really bad. But I mean, if somebody here says anything about the Native Americans and the land, and I just go right off. Like, this is an example. Someone was cleaning my windows about a year ago, and I've got this huge big poster of Sitting Bull in my hallway. I've got Indian things all over the house. And, you know, just in conversation, he said to me, oh, he doesn't look very happy. And I said, well, he didn't have anything to be happy about. I said that they stole his land. They killed him. They took everything. And, I mean, the guy just looked at me, and that's what I'm like. I get very aggressive when it comes to that. And I feel that although I'm sure, and I haven't personally contacted the Lakota, because I don't do anything now without being told. I feel the spirit world works in mysterious ways. But I feel that there's got to be something that my soul wants to do to help the Lakota. That's the only thing. I don't know why there's any other reason why I would find out, unless it's just to help my soul finish something that it felt it didn't finish last life.
You have a quote inside your book. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. What have you discovered about yourself since you have grown into this whole new level of experience and understanding, exploration, questioning, observation? This has transformed your life tremendously.
Oh, yes. I'll never be the same person that I was prior to 3 or 4 years ago, that when I started learning all this spiritual journey. I've learned that we can't change anything that has been planned in our lifetime. We do our own planning, of course. We write our own scripts. No matter how hard you try to change something, nothing can ever change what's already written. And so, as I say to people now, I just go with the flow, you know. I know that I can't change what's meant to be. Everything is just planned for us, and it's just made me more accepting of my life and more understanding. And there's been so many things have happened in my life in the last 4 years that, and Marianne said to me with things, well, you know, this, you know, this will make it, like sometimes things have to be worse before they can get better, and things have to be cleared right away before you can start something new. And then all of a sudden things will just start unfolding, and I can see it now. And so I just think now, well, it's made me, I'm a lot more understanding of people, and I'm a lot more understanding of how the spirit world works. And it's made me just accept a lot of things around me that, you know, before you sort of think, oh, you know, why is this happening? You know, you go through all of that, how everybody does. And then, but now I don't say anything like that because I know that everything's happening for a reason. And you mightn't know at the time why it is, but it, you just know that it is. And I mean, I'm actually thinking, when I came back from America this last time, I got back about a month ago, and I said, I'm going to do a great big spreadsheet of the last, you know, 4 years of my life since the crazy horse thing first came out, and just, it'll just, it just all runs all into one another, the whole thing. I mean, the way it's just working out is one of the other girls, Carla, that's from New Hampshire, she's, you know, she calls it the bigger picture, and that's what it is. It's bigger than all of us. We know that because the way it all works out and the way they lead us to things, it's simply amazing, absolutely amazing.
Well, here you are in Melbourne, Australia. We're having a chance to hear your story here in the U.S. On the Internet. And that's probably something that you would never have imagined would be a part of your experience either. Your book,
oh,
Another, that's right, Another Place, Another Time, is the title of your book. It's the reincarnation of Crazy Horse. Coral Montana has been our guest. And Coral, your story is a provocative one. There are many people that would listen to it and would say, no, I just don't buy into any of this stuff. Here you are living something that you are trying to communicate about in the best way you know how, through the written word. And the truth is, when you go through experiences like that, nobody can know what you've gone through because you're the one
that's
gone through it. Now, we are going, we're almost through with our time here on the phone. Do you have a thought you would like to share with my listeners before we close out on the interview?
About life itself or about Crazy Horse?
Whatever you would like.
I think that you should listen to your head. If there's voices in your head, listen to them because it's bound to be the spirit world. Don't think that you're nuts. I've been through all that. I've had people tell me I'm nuts. I still have people look at me as if I'm nuts. And if you learn anything special like I've learned about Crazy Horse, it consumed me for the first 2 years. Now I've learned that I don't necessarily tell everybody what I know. You find that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that will think you're a nut. Just test the water and keep a lot to yourself because not everybody believes you. In fact, 75% of people don't, and they just think that you're a bit of an idiot. But trust in yourself. I think you have to trust in yourself, and that's what I've done. And with trusting in myself, and it's helped me live so many experiences that, as I say, it's just even amazed me, and it still amazes me. Every holiday I go to over there, I think, well, this time there won't be anything that the spirit world can show me, but they keep showing me more and more, and so it's just amazing.
Coral Montana has been my guest. Her adventures of the paranormal, if you want to explore them, if you're having experiences of your own, I think you'll find her book, Another Place, Another Time, fascinating reading. The Reincarnation of Crazy Horse. Coral, you can go back to bed now. It's 4 a.m. in the morning. And I'm so delighted that you were able to be with us today. Thank you so much.
I'm delighted you asked me, Donna.
It's been a pleasure. You have a magnificent day now.
Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We are going to a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away. Hi, this is Donna Sebo during the Hour of Mind Power. I want to make you aware of a very special activity, especially for those of you in the Washington State area. There is an event that I'm going to be participating in called the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. It is such an exciting event because you feel like you're transported into another time, another place. It is going to be the 16th century village that you will enter into. And if you'd like to have information about this, if you would like to see gypsy dancing, Celtic music, wandering minstrels, storytelling, vendors are bringing in products from all over the world. This is an event you do not want to miss. If you'd like to have more information on it, go to their website, WashingtonRenFair.com. That's Washington, R-E-N, F-A-I-R-E. Be sure you put the E on the end of fair.com. They also have an 800 number, 359-5948. It's located out in Gig Harbor at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 SR302 in Gig Harbor, Washington. And it is going to be playing the first 3 weekends in August, August 5th, 6th, 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th. And I will be out there. This, I believe, is our 5th year that we have participated, and it is absolutely exciting. There is just so much that you can enjoy. You'll see people in costumes, and you can come in costume yourself if you wanted to dress up for this wonderful, wonderful activity. So I will be appearing there all 3 weekends, doing many sessions with people, and I'll have lots and lots of books, so there will be all kinds of things that will be available to chat about. So don't forget the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, the first 3 weekends in August, the Mentor Creek Ranch in Gig Harbor. And you can go into my website, and there's also information on my newsletter, last month's newsletter, and this one as well, and you can go in and get the information about location, etc., going to DelphiInternational.com. That is my website, and you'll find out all of the information. Plus, when you get my newsletter, you'll find out about the guests that are coming up, the different things that are going on, and it just keeps you in touch. Now, I want you to know I'm really appreciating the emails that you are sending me, and I have been sent recipes, and one of them I've got to share with you this morning because it'll just make your day. It's sauerkraut cookies. Yes, I'm sure that you've got visions of sauerkraut cookies in your head. Well, anyway, I'll be giving that to you later on. But this is something that was sent to me by a woman, Sarah, in New York, and it had been sent to her, and it's a poem. Now, this is a poem written by a teenager with cancer. She wants to see how many people get her poem, and the person that sent this to me said, please pass it on. And this was written by a terminally ill young girl in a New York hospital. This has been sent out by a medical doctor. And what was requested is that you make sure you read what is in the closing statement after the poem. And I told Sarah that I would be sharing it on the air today with you. The poem, as it was titled by this young lady, is called Slow Dance. And this is how it reads. Have you ever watched kids on a merry-go-round? Or listen to the rain slapping on the ground? Ever followed a butterfly's erratic flight or gazed at the sun into the fading night? You better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. Do you run through each day on the fly when you ask, how are you? Do you hear the reply? When the day is done, do you lie in your bed with the next 100 chores running through your head? You better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. Ever told your child we'll do it tomorrow, and in your haste not see his sorrow? Ever lost touch, let a good friendship die, because you never had time to call and say, hi? You better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. When you run so fast to get somewhere, you miss half the fun of getting there. When you worry and hurry through your day, it's like an unopened gift thrown away. Life is not a race. Do take it slower. Hear the music before the song is over. Now, this is the note by the physician. Dear all, please pass this email on to everyone you know, even to those you don't know. It is the request of a special girl who will soon leave this world due to cancer. This young girl has 6 months left to live, and as her dying wish, she wanted to send a letter telling everyone to live their life to the fullest, since she never will. She'll never make it to prom, graduate from high school, or get married and have a family of her own. By sharing with us, with as many people as possible, you can give her and her family a little hope. Because with every name that this is sent to, the American Cancer Society will donate 3 cents per name to her treatment and recovery plan. One guy sent this to 500 people, so I know that we can at least send it to 5 or 6. It's not even your money, just your time. Please pass it on as a last request. And this is by Dr. Dennis Shields. He's a professor at the Department of Developmental and Molecular Biology. And his address is 1300 Morris Park Avenue, Bronx, New York, 10461. And if you would like to have me send you a copy of this, then send me an email to donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. And I will forward you the email that was sent to me, and you can pass it along for this young lady who wrote such a special poem. Listen to the music. And I'm passing it on to so many of you. So, again, if you just want to do that, then just send me an email, and I'll be happy to get all that information to you. Donna Sebo here. I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. If you want to give me a call, all I need is your first name or initial. Call me at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And when you call in, we'll just get that information from you. And then also, I'd like to know what part of the country you're calling in from. So don't forget to give me that information, too. And then I want to thank Deborah, who had sent me a safety tip. And it was one that I thought I would share with you as well. And again, if you have something special you would like to share, then go ahead and send it along to me. This is the safety tip that Deborah sent me. She said, the next time you come home for the night and you go to put your keys away, think of this. It's a security alarm system that you probably already have and requires no installation. Start keeping your car keys next to your bed on the nightstand when you go to bed at night. If you think someone is trying to get into your house or if you hear a noise outside your house, just press the panic alarm on your car keychain. Test it. It will go off from almost everywhere inside your house and will keep honking until your battery runs down or until you reset it with the button on the key fob chain. It works if you park in your driveway or even in your garage. If your car alarm goes off when someone's trying to break in your house, odds are the burglar or whoever the individual is won't stick around. After a few seconds, all the neighbors will be looking out the windows to see who is out there, and sure enough, the criminal won't want that. So it was suggested that you try yours to make sure it works before you rely on it. Just know that you must press the alarm button again to turn it off. And remember to carry your car keys when you're walking to your car in a parking lot. The alarm can work the same way there. It's also useful when you're trying to find your car in a parking lot. All right. Thanks ever so much, Deb, for sending along that information. I really appreciate it. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. I think we've got a caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Donna. Thank you.
Your first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Lisa, and I'm calling from Northeast Oregon.
Wonderful. Where in Northeast Oregon?
Actually, it's Union.
Union? I don't think I've been through Union, Oregon.
It's 15 miles from La Grande.
Oh, I've got friends that live out in that area, and they just love it. That is gorgeous, gorgeous country.
Yes, it's beautiful here.
Beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful.
All right, dear, let me give you my impressions, and then we'll take your question. The first thing, Lisa, I'm looking at in my mind is a computer. And as I'm watching the computer, I'm seeing you very agitated and very frustrated. There's apparently something in the way of a sophisticated technology that you are going to have someone assist you with so that you can get a particular project done. Your life is changing in a very, very special way. And you have for so many years been so dedicated to involving yourself with people, with conditions, situations, trying to make sure that things harmonize and balance. And you have sort of pulled back, and especially this last year, you've said, I want to give to myself the time to really organize and prepare for the shift I'm wanting to move into. You're going into a brand new career level. And it's a level that you never in your wildest dreams would have ever thought you would be involved with. And then your life seems to go very public. And I'm looking at the number 7. So I'm inclined to think by the 7th month of a year, there is going to be, and I think it's 2007, I believe that you are going to find yourself in a very public positioning that is going to enable you to reach a lot more individuals than you ever thought you would. And it's going to require certain skills, and some of those skills will be the operation of a particular level of technology. It will be portable. Maybe it's with a laptop. There might be some other kind of equipment. But I'm seeing you saying to yourself, I'm ready. And I want you to know you've got a few bumpy experiences with some people that you might want to align yourself with, yet you're going to find that that is not appropriate for you because they have different agendas. So I think you're going to have some disappointments with people this year, especially after September the 19th of this year, between September 19th and November the 21st. Keep in mind, though, that you may have this. It is only temporary. You are weeding out what is not going to be suitable for you, and your clarity and perception is going to be very, very valuable. Now, Lisa, we're going to be taking a break there. Would you stay on the line, and then we'll get your question when we come back?
Sure, thank you.
You're more than welcome, Lisa. This is Donna Sebo. This is the Hour of Mind Power. And if you want to call in during the show, the telephone number, remember, is 877-876-5227. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I want to remind you, don't forget, for those of you in Washington or anywhere in the country, if you love Renaissance, if you love fantasy, you want to know about the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Now, remember, it's those first 3 weekends in August, the 5th, the 6th, the 12th, the 13th, the 19th, and the 20th. People come in from all over the country to attend this wonderful event, and I've had the pleasure of meeting them. This is one that I've participated in over the years, and it's just a delight. I get to dress up in costume and be right there interacting with people one-on-one, and it's always such a joy to do that. Now, this is going to be held at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 SR 302 in Gig Harbor, Washington. And the best way to get information is to go to the Washington Ren Fair website, and that's Washington, R-E-N-F-A-I-R-E. Don't forget that E on the end of fair, .com. And they have such wonderful events going on there. They have jousting, equestrian events. Oh, the horses are just awesome. They are just absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous animals. They have sword fighting, dancing, Celtic music, storytelling. They have 8 stages of entertainment going on, and it's family entertainment that is just absolutely a joy. Whether you've got little tiny people that are out toddling around, or as adults, we're the big kids, we're out there in costume and just having a wonderful, wonderful time, and it is just absolutely a joy. And it opens up at 9 in the morning and closes at 6. Now, if you, again, want more information, you can get discounted tickets, and also you can buy your ticket online at WashingtonRenFair.com. And there's an 800 number of 359-5948. Come on by and say hello. My booth will have bright yellow banners with red lions on it. You can't miss it. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to go back to Lisa, who's calling in from Northeast Oregon. Lisa, what was your question for me today?
Well, I really didn't have a question. I just wanted to see what you saw for me in the future. And I'm kind of in awe about what things that you said.
Now, how so?
Well, I'm going to be going to a course that I've been wanting to go to for years. I finally just registered for it. And I'm going to be going to that in March. And I would like to open up a healing center in the future, something to help people. My daughter and I have been working on clothing and stuff for the homeless people and doing clothing swaps,
mm-hmm.
and to donate all these clothes to the people who do not have anything. And I would just want to see if you saw anything good for me or anything good for humanity in the future.
Well, when you have a big question that's relating to humanity for the future, humanity is always going to have its ups and downs here. It's always going to have its wars. It's always going to have conflicts because it's part of human nature. When it comes to yourself, you need to realize that where you are right now is a major breakthrough for you, inasmuch as you are looking at how you can constructively develop something that is not only going to have a passion for you in your life, or be a passion for you in your life, but it is also going to enable you to teach others how they can find their own passions. I think the Healing Center, it's not going to evolve as you are thinking of it at this time, but I do not want you to drop the dream. What you are going to find is that there will be an alliance of individuals that you will come to feel a very strong cooperation with. And in having that cooperation with them, you're going to find you're going to be able to get a lot done. You need to stay flexible. You're not a person that wants to run a company, an organization, per se. That's not your strength. I believe you're doing the right thing by taking the classes because it's expanding your thinking. So be patient with what you're growing into. Don't try to put yourself into a box or try to figure out at this time exactly what you think you want. You're exploring. And that is a wonderful space to be in. Did you have an opportunity to hear my guest, Coral, earlier?
I heard a little bit of it.
Well, Coral's life was turned around by certain experiences that have caused her to explore, to research history, to become aware of her own intuitive talents. And it has transformed her life in a phenomenal way. And you are going through that transformation yourself. And I want you to be able to enjoy your journey.
Well, thank you so much.
You are very welcome. And you be sure and tell your friends about the show.
I will.
Thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Well, thank you for answering my question.
My pleasure.
Have a good day.
Thank you, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Siebel, and you can call in, too, if you would like. The telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5255. 227. And I want to also say that being here on bbsradio.com, it is such a delight. The staff and everyone here that has put this wonderful opportunity for broadcasting on the internet together, they're so dedicated to what they do. And the archives, we've had requests for more archives, and those are going to be coming on fairly soon. But we have some archives on my site. If you want to go in, go ahead and listen. You can listen to any of the shows at your leisure. So be sure and tell your friends that they can go in, listen to programming, and you know what's great? You can go into the homepage of bbsradio.com, and you can scroll down. And by the way, I want to say hello to those of you who are listening to East Hill Radio in Kent, Washington. I know that they play the program. I'm so delighted. That's 1700 a.m. that we are able to share some airtime on that station. It's just a delight to be able to do that, and I appreciate you taking the show. I really am so glad that we are able to reach so many people in such a wonderfully comfortable way. Now, I don't know. Nope, I don't have time. I don't have time to share the sauerkraut cookie recipe with you. I know. You're going to say, Donna, isn't that reaching? Well, what do you know? You never know until you try something. But there's all kinds of interesting things that I'm sent. And remember, you can send me information as well. And also, don't forget, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is an adventure. I want you to remember that you may find yourself, not unlike my guest this morning, going through experiences that may totally flip your thinking into an entirely different direction. Don't be afraid of that. Be willing to ask questions. Be willing to grow. You may discover that there's something you've got to offer that nobody else around you has any clue about. So let your light shine, and don't be afraid of the unknown. Donna Siebel here. We'll be talking with you tomorrow, and also we'll be talking with Bill Bornett on the Lois Wilson story. So tune in. We don't want you to miss any of our wonderful guests. Bye for now. Talk with you tomorrow.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.